Getting back to our seats, if you would, take your Bibles, open them up to this morning's sermon topic, Psalm number 1. Psalm number 1, and again, your Bibles should fall immediately open to that passage. We've been there for several weeks now, dealing with the blessed man. Psalm number 1, many of you have already committed Psalm 1 to memory. And we praise God for that. And others committed Psalm 121 as well to memory. Amen. And then after this, we'll be going to another psalm as we consider Psalms for the Soul for 2015. We want to quote and each one of these a part of our memory. Psalm 1, and we're going to read all six verses. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Any oh me's? Amen. If you don't have a Bible, there's one right in front of you. Go ahead and pick that up. Amen. Psalm 1, let's go ahead and read all six verses together. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. For the last several weeks, we have been concentrating on verse number 1 and looking at the negative choices of the blessed man, the things that he does not do, the things that he stays away from, the things that he finds distasteful and dishonoring to his God and to his walk. And we looked at the blessed man does not listen to the ungodly counsel. The blessed man does not linger with the sinners. And the blessed man does not lounge with the scorners. They're not a makeup of his people, of counselors that he surrounds himself with. And we mentioned this as well. You can be saved and still be ungodly. You can be saved and you're still a sinner. You can be saved and still be scornful. Amen. So just the fact of us being saved, amen, doesn't mean that we cannot be those people, because we can. And now we want to make sure that we're not those people. Amen. And if folks are avoiding you, you may be one of those people. Amen. But the Bible is clear that the blessed man has some negative choices that he surrounds himself with. And I'm so glad today we get into the positive choices. Amen. How many of y'all like the power of positive thinking? Amen. They say, man, let's just be positive. We've got to get the negative out of the way before we can deal with the positive. Amen. Now, I'm not a big fan of positive thinking, but I am a big fan of godly thinking. Amen. And that's what the Bible teaches. Amen. And so we're looking at godly thinking. Amen. And God is positively holy and he's positively against sin. Amen. So if that's your positive thinking, then you're on the right track. Amen. And so we're going to look at the positive choices of the blessed man today and concentrate primarily on verse number 2. Amen. Notice what it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Amen. That's a choice that he makes. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's a choice, folks. That's a choice that the blessed man makes. And as a result of the choice that he makes, there's a result that comes with that, and we'll see that in verse number 3. But let's sit back this morning, listen to the words of the song that we'll be saying here in just a few moments, but then ponder what verse 2 is talking about in the blessed man's life, and how much of that life is your life. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you need eternal life. Father, bless now in the sermon today. Well, we dealt with the negative choices of the blessed man. Now we want to see the positive choices, the things that he delights in. We understand the things that he disdains and the things that he stands apart from and away from and tries very hard not to make them a part of his life. But Lord, now as we look at the positive choices, help us to see if these positive choices are in our life. If they're not, Lord, help us to make them a part of our lives. Lord, there may be one here today that has walked with the ungodly. They have stood with the sinners and they have sat with the scornful. God, I pray that they would divorce themselves from that crowd, whether they're saved or whether they're lost, and they would embrace the walk of truth and righteousness and godly meditation. And they would embrace the God of heaven Lord, we can't embrace the God of heaven until we confess our sins before a holy God. Lord, I pray there's one today without Jesus Christ. If they were to die and they have no assurance that heaven is their home, I pray that you would deal in that man, that woman, that boy or girl's heart. And may the Holy Spirit prick their heart and allow them to see their true need for Jesus Christ and the reality of a hell that awaits people that are not saved. Lord, we know good people die and go to hell, and bad people go there as well. But we know saved people go to heaven. And Lord, I pray that each one here today has a record in heaven with you, and their account's been settled, and they've been redeemed. And Lord, I pray they can praise you because they've been born again by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Minister in song, but Lord, then minister in the sermon that'll be preached. Lord, may our lives be changed today, and may we leave here differently than when we came in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
For everything he's done,
enough time in the day to be able to praise God for what he's done in our lives. Amen. And I do pray that God has spoken to your heart through that. Amen. And we might become a more of a praising people. Well, I'm going to warn you up front. There's a lot of scriptures that I'm going to read today. I don't expect you to get to all of them. And so the ones that you can't get to, just make sure that you jot them down and continue going on. But we're going to go right into the positive choices of the blessed man. We've looked at the beginning of this. This psalm is unnamed, and the Holy Spirit gives this psalm to us to encourage us and what we ought to do to be blessed of God. Amen. And by the way, the negative choices are very, very needful. Amen. You need to know what not to do to know what to do. And we saw that initially. Why? Because we struggle when we're told what to do. Amen. How many of y'all have been through basic training? Boot camp, amen. I don't know about you, but when I first went in, it was hard for me when they told me, do this and do that and do this. I thought, man, that's hard. But then when they said, don't do this, guess what? That was pretty easy.
Yeah, amen.
I'm not going to do that, but the stuff you're telling me to do, amen, seems to be difficult. They told me to take an M16 apart and then put it back together and shoot it. I said, well, that's difficult. I'm not a hunter. I'm not a gamer. I'm not a shooter. I'm not a marksman. But they wanted me to take this thing apart and then put it back together. And once I did put it back together, I was amazed that I was able to do it. But then they said, now go shoot with it. I was afraid to shoot with it because I know who put it together. Amen. This thing's going to backfire in my face. It's going to blow up. Amen. I'm going to have black smoke all over my face. I'm going to die before I even get in the military. Amen. And so it's easier to do not the things that you're told not to do than it is to do the things that you're told to do. It's just one of those things. And it comes with our sinful nature. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It goes way back to the Garden of Eden. And so you and I struggle now with choices, and especially positive choices. And so the blessed man starts off with negative choices. He stays away from some people that are ungodly counseling him, that are standing in the way of sinners or standing like sinners stand, and that are sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now, why is that so important? Because our sin nature is attracted to sin. Our sin nature is attracted to ungodly counsel. Our sin nature is attracted to scornful people. It's just a part of our fallen nature. It's in us to want to hear bad news versus good news. How many of y'all turn on the news? You want to hear all good news. Amen. We want to hear it, but we don't. You know, we hear about somebody getting shot. Oh, I wonder who that was. Huh? Somebody got broken into. Thief. I wonder who that was. Oh, a plane went down. I wonder what that was. If they say some good Samaritan did something, you're like, oh, well, yeah, well. Well, they fed the homeless over here. Oh, well, yeah, well. But you let it be some gut, some smut, some garbage, man. We wouldn't hear that, you know. Some man committed triple adultery, you know, was out there with three women at once, you know. Oh, who is that filthy man? Our fallen nature makes us want to go for sinful stuff. And so the psalmist here is encouraging us to stay away from that. Get away from that negative counsel. Get away from that sinful folk. Get away from the scornful folk. Get away from them. And so his life is governed by how he chooses negatively. But then it's chosen, it's signified by how he chooses positively. And so we're going to look at the positive choices of the blessed man. We're going to look at two facets of this verse. The law of the Lord is his delight, number one. Then number two, the law of the Lord is his diet. Law of the Lord is his delight, and it's his diet. And let's consider, first of all, the law of the Lord is his delight. Notice what it says down there, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. I like the word but. But means there's a total change in the direction we're going. A total change in the direction of the tone in what I'm saying. It's quite the opposite of what I just said. You could say to your child, I'm going to spank you. But I had a change of heart. The child would love to hear that. I was going to put you on restriction, but I changed my mind. Some of y'all say, I was going to go to work tomorrow, but now I'm sick. It's a total change. It's something contrary to what I just said. He said, the blessed man, he doesn't walk like this. He doesn't stand like this. He doesn't sit like this. But let me tell you what he does do. Contrary to what I just said, this is what he does do. His delight is in the law of the Lord. The blessed man's delight is in the law of the Lord. He delights in the law of his Lord. He has a different counselor than the ungodly man. He finds different company to hang out with than the sinful man. And he has a different cause than the scornful man. His cause is the cause of Jesus Christ. He's concerned about God. He's concerned about God's business and God's will for his life specifically. And so he's going to make some different choices. He has separated himself from defilement, much like Daniel. How many of y'all remember Daniel? Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not, what? Defile himself. Amen. Daniel purposed in his heart. The blessed man has purposed in his heart not to walk with these folks, not to linger with these folks, not to lounge with these folks. But like Daniel, he's purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Friend, let me tell you something. You don't make the blessed choices that this man makes unconsciously. Let me say that again. You don't make the choices that he made unconsciously. What do I mean? You willfully walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You willfully stand with sinners. You willfully sit in the seat of the scornful. But you also willfully delight in the law of the Lord. It's a matter of choice. What you choose to delight in. He separated himself from defilement like Daniel. Turn over to Psalm 119 real quick. Hold your finger there. We'll come right back there. Because we see the blessed man has some character traits about him, but Psalm 119 starts off in a similar fashion. Notice how Psalm 119 starts off. Blessed are the what? Undefiled in the way. Hey, it just said Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself in Daniel 1:8. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. What does verse 2 say? But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And his law doth he meditate. Notice down there in verse number 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. Or happy is he, or oh, how happy is he. And notice the result of this man in verses 1 and verses 2. Notice 3. They also do how much iniquity? No iniquity. Why don't they do any iniquity? They walk in his ways. Amen. Hey, what happens if I'm going to be the blessed man? I want to be undefiled. I want to walk in the way. And when you walk in God's way, guess what? You don't walk in the world's way. You can't walk in two ways at the same time. It's an impossibility. You're going to walk in one way or the other. By the way, it's in your best interest to walk in the laws of the land. Why? You get no tickets. Amen. The minute you cross the line, amen. How many of y'all had to go to that speed class? No, don't raise your hands. It'd be incriminating, amen. Aren't you glad you can do it on a computer now so nobody knows that you're a criminal? And the comforts of your own home, you can get on that computer and do your class, and none of us will know that you got a speeding ticket and your picture was down in City Hall somewhere, put up there with all the rest of the speed racers, amen. Or the red light runners, or the California stoppers, amen. Whatever it is. Hey, what happened? We weren't walking in the law of the land. And in other words, we crossed the line. And guess what happened? We got a ticket. Say, preacher, how you know all that stuff? I got one. I'll be honest with you, I got one. Couldn't deny it, it was me. I say, it's me, old law, standing in the infraction, amen. Had to fess up, take that class. Hey, he says they do no iniquity. Why? They walk in his ways. Hey, while you're walking in the way of God, you do no iniquity. You are undefiled. You are doing the will of God. And so the blessed man says, hey, look, I'm going to do this, God. I'm going to walk in your law. I'm going to love your law. I'm going to love your word. And as a result, I'm going to do no iniquity. You know, when you are doing no iniquity, you are walking in the law of God. It's when you get out of that law is when you and I get into sin. And we start walking with the ungodly. And we start hanging out with the sinners. And we start sitting with the scornful. But as long as we're doing the word of God, guess what? They do no iniquity. What did the Bible say about this man? Psalm 119, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and they that seek him with a whole heart. They also do zero or no iniquity. Why? Because they walk in his ways. Go back to Psalm 1 with me. The blessed man's first desire And his first delight is the word of God. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Give you a definition here. The word delight means pleasure or desire or a valuable thing. So, in other words, but his pleasure or his desire or his valuable thing is in the law of the Lord. That's what he values most. That's his delight. By the way, that's your delight. It'll keep you from a lot of things.
Amen.
Hey, if every child that's in here had their parents' law as their delight, there would be obedient children here today.
Praise the Lord, Pastor.
Say, preacher, what happens? They don't delight in their mother and father's law.
Amen.
They had their own laws. They become a law to themselves sometimes. Mama, daddy, I know what's better for me. I know what's best for me. Amen. Well, you better start delighting in my law or you're going to have a seat that's going to be a little sore.
Ooh, boy.
Amen. Hey, the rod and reproof give correction. The dictionary, it says this about desire. High degree of gratification. To give keen enjoyment. To give extreme satisfaction. Or something that gives great pleasure. So in other words, but his high degree of gratification. But his keen enjoyment. But his extreme satisfaction. But his thing that gives him great pleasure is the word of God. May I ask you something? Do you delight in the law of the Lord? Now, I'm not talking about just like the way it sounds, because it sounds good.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
It sounds real good. King James Version is very poetic. I mean, it just flows.
Yes, it does.
But I'm not talking about the way it flows. I'm talking about what it does in your life. I'm talking about the effect that it brings to your person. I'm talking about what it does to your character. I'm talking about what it does to your integrity. I'm talking about what it does to your honesty. Talk about what it does to your life. Do you delight in it because of what it can do for you? I had the pleasure of being over with Nelson Harrison yesterday. And he delighted to tell me about his son, Nelson Jr. He showed me pictures of Nelson and went back to show me pictures of Burke and went to show me pictures of Tamara, his other daughter, and went to show me pictures of his other daughter, Karen. And I mean, he's just bragging about the family and the glow on his face as he talked about his family. The glow on Irene's as she's like, look at this and look at that and look at them. And then she got on him. She said, you're bringing that picture out here. I didn't get a chance to dust that. She's like, come on, don't bring that stuff out of here. Amen. And he's like, I don't care. I'm delighting in this thing. Hey, I'm delighting. This is great. Who cares about the dust? These are my children. I delight in them.
Amen.
He could care less about some dust.
Amen.
He said, these are my children.
Yes, sir.
And he had such a glow. He had such a delight. He had such an excitement about him. Are we that way about the word of God? We ought to be.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
We ought to be.
Yes, sir.
We ought to be. I mean, he delighted in that. We ought to have that same type of delight. Amen. I love talking about my wife. I love talking about my children as well. Amen. And I get delight in talking about them. I get fired up about them. I talk about the time my wife and I first met, how she thought I was some thug.
Praise the Lord.
And she said I was trying to be cool. I thought I was cool. But she thought I was trying to be cool. Got my hat on, got my shades. She said she was disgusted by that. I thought she was delighting in it. I was delighting in her, amen. She was disgusted by me, amen. Hey, you can't have delight and disgust at the same time. Something is going to happen. Hey, wait a minute. If she's disgusted by me and if I'm delighted in her, somebody's got to give something. Either she's going to come down on her disgust level to come over here with me, or I'm going to come down on her delight level and come over here with her. Hey, but somebody's got to give. Hey, what am I saying? The blessed man says, I've chosen negatively, and I can't come down to the sinner, to the scornful, to the ungodly counsel. I'm not giving in.
That's right.
But somebody's got to give in. Hey, if we're going to walk together, somebody's got to give in. Because I'm going that way, and you're going that way. Somebody got to give. Are we sometimes guilty of coming off of our holiness to walk with somebody? Are we sometimes guilty of coming down on our blessedness to walk with the ungodly counsel? Do we sometimes say, well, I'll give in. I don't want to seem like I'm all holier than thou. You don't have to seem all. Just be holy. And you will seem that way. Did Jesus say, be ye holy, for I am holy? It's the Bible. God said in the Old Testament, be ye holy. Why? For I am holy. Well, I don't want them to think I'm a snob. Well, don't be a snob then.
Amen, Pastor.
I don't want them to think I'm stuck up.
They're going to think I'm all that. Trust me, they don't. They don't.
That's good, Pastor. That's good.
They might think that you're probably none of that.
That's right.
Let me tell you something, friend. If you're holy, it's going to make a difference.
Yes, sir.
If you're right with God, it's going to make a difference. Don't come down off of your holiness to trying to go over here on the other side just because the scorners are over there and the sinners are over there and the ungodly counselors are. Don't come down off your holiness.
Right,
don't do it. Hey, but wait a minute. Somebody's got to give something. Either they're going to give on their stand to come over to me, or I'm going to give on my stand to come over to you. But somebody's got to give up something.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad when it came to Mrs. Dawson, I lost my coolness.
Amen.
Took off my hat, took off the shades.
Yeah, yeah.
Dare you satisfied as the real me? No. She got a half damaged package, amen. I was half cool. What am I saying? She was like, look, I'm disgusted by you, and I ain't going to be seen with some shade-wearing, baseball-hat-wearing person. That ain't going to happen.
Amen.
And I said, well, if you don't delight in that, then I need to get rid of that.
Amen.
Hey, the things that don't delight God, we ought to get rid of that.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Because we can't walk in his way and be that way and be pleasing to his side. We can't do it. Somebody's got to give, and God ain't giving. Amen. God ain't giving. He's already laid down the framework. He said, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Amen. To be right with me, you're going to be like the blessed man. You're going to forsake that counsel. You're going to forsake that sin. You're going to forsake that scorn. Amen. And to be with me, you're going to have to delight in my law. You're going to have to delight in my word. You're going to have to be with me. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just saying. Sometimes we try to come down and make our godliness seem less godly just to walk with somebody. Girls, don't you do it. Boys, don't you do it. Well, if I want that girl, then I got to seem like I'm not so holy. Really? You don't need that girl then. Well, to get that boy, then I got to seem like I'm not so pure. Hey, bless God, be pure. Come down off of that. Be pure. Be holy, for I am holy. That's how kids get ruined. Well, I don't want them to think I am. Just be holy. Just be holy. Who cares what they think about you? Hey, Daniel didn't care what they thought about him. He went right to the prince of the eunuchs and said, look, I don't want to defile myself. My God is against that. And so could you please give me something else? Now he's going to either say yes or no. Hey, if people don't like it, tough. Tough. He said, preacher, that's being mean. No, that's being blessed. That's making positive choices and making negative choices. Hey, what am I saying? The blessed man, he delights in the law of the Lord for what it is. What is it? It's God's love letter to him for what it does. What does it do? It keeps him right and from wrong. It gets him into heaven and keeps him out of hell. It guides him on earth and keeps him until he gets to heaven. Amen. It is his guide map. It is his rule book. It is what he lives by. It is what he lives for. And that's what he lives on to please his God. Why? He's a blessed man. He's got some positive choices that he's making here. He delights in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is his delight. Notice some delight verses in just the Psalms alone. Now, if you don't get a chance to get there, don't worry about it. Psalm 37 in verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And I know at the outset you say, man, preacher, that sounds good. I'm going to delight myself in the Lord so I can get me a new car, so I can get me an airplane, amen, so I can inherit a town. By the way, if you want to buy a town, my dad's town is for sale down there. It's called Grantville, Georgia. The entire town is up for sale.
Wow.
So if you want to buy the town, if you got that kind of money, you can buy the complete town. Wow. My dad said, I know why it's up for sale, too. I've seen it. He said, it's old, decrepit, buildings are falling down. He said, I see why it's up for sale, amen. You can actually put your name down there. It could be Laparville. It could be Hallville. It could be White Township. It could be Verdonville. You could actually buy that.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's not talking about giving you the desires of your heart. That's talking about if you delight yourself in God's way, in God's law, in God's word, God's going to put his desire in you, and you're going to want to do what God wants you to do. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He's going to give you the desire that he wants you to have in your heart to obey him, not yourself. Amen. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Folks have quoted that for years. Well, I delighted myself in God, and I asked for a 50-bedroom house, and he just didn't give it to me. Why? It's two of you. You and your wife, right? Why would you need 50 bedrooms? Well, I just want to have one. See, that's why you didn't get it. That's covetous. Amen. Delight thyself in also in the Lord. He shall give thee desires of thy heart. He's going to put them there. Psalm 40 and verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Notice that. Thy law is within my heart. Hey, what did he say over there? The blessed man. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Psalm 119 and verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. What's that? Just another name for the law of God. I will not forget thy word. Psalm 119 verse 24. Thy testimonies. What's that? Another name for God's word. Also are my delight. Notice that. And my counselors. Psalm 119 and verse 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. What's that? Another word for the law of the Lord. For therein do I delight. Psalm 119, 47. And I will delight myself in thy commandments. What is that? Another name for the law of the Lord, which I have loved. Psalm 119 and verse 70. I delight in thy law. What is that? The law of the Lord. Psalm 119 and verse 77. Thy law is my delight. What is that? The word of God. Psalm 119, verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have then perished in mine affliction. Amen. Every instance in the Psalms, delight is associated with keeping God's word, God's will, or delighting in God in some fashion, shape, or form. What am I saying? He delights in it. The same way Nelson talked about his family. The same way I wanted my wife. Amen. Delight. Delight. It's what I get enjoyment from. It's what I value. It gives me pleasure. It's my desire. It gives me gratification. It gives me enjoyment. His law is my delight for what it is, for what it does. Amen. Psalm 119 and verse 143, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. Yet thy commandments are my delights. What is commandment? Another word for law. Psalm 119, 174, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. The blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. May I ask you something today? Does it give you gratification? Does it give you satisfaction? Does it give you keen enjoyment to get the word of God for what it is and for what it does? What it produces in your life, what it keeps you from. Hey, by the way, if you get into your own sinful practices without the word of God, your life will be miserable and wretched. You devoid yourself from God and God's word and don't read the word of God and don't obey God, my friend, you'll have a life of misery and woe. You say, preacher, I think my way is pretty good. It shows how much you know.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
You go down to the prison house and you talk to people that are in prison. You know why they're there? Because they disobeyed God's word. They have raped, they have pilfered, they have stolen, they have beaten, they have killed, they have coveted, they have done all the commands that God said not to do. Women are in jail over things of the same nature. Why? We neglected the law of the Lord. We walked with the scornful. We sat with the sinners. Or we went over there with the ungodly counsel. We followed and left to your own self. You won't be good. You delight in your own word. See how far you get.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Well, I think my way is pretty good. Not unless your way is God's way.
Hey,
they delight in his ways. They also do no iniquity. Why? God's word to keep you from sin, or sin to keep you from God's word. One of the two. Hey, let me ask you, what do you delight in? The blessed man says, you know what? I'm going to stay away from this crowd right here. And some of these folks may be saved. And some of them may be lost. But I'm going to stay away from that council. I'm going to stay away from those sinners. I'm going to stay away from that scroll. But let me tell you what I'm going to do. My delight is in the law of the Lord. Oh, I want to get in the word of God. Oh, I want to read it. I want to get in its laws, its statutes, its commandments. Oh, I want to get immersed by it. Oh, I delight in what it is. I delight in what it's going to do. I delight in the result of what's going to happen. Oh, God is good. Oh, it don't feel good at the time, but like surgery, it's necessary.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Sir, amen.
Hey, you might not like a lot of vitamins, but guess what? They're necessary.
Right,
you might not like a lot of supplements. Guess what? Sometimes they're necessary.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you might not like to brush your teeth, but tell me what? It's necessary.
Yes, sir, it is.
Not just for you, but for me too.
Amen.
You don't brush your teeth and see how far people are going to get from you. They'll treat you like you are the ungodly counselor. They'll teach you are like you were in the sinners. They'll treat you like you are the scornful. You don't brush your teeth. Amen. You don't bathe and see how far people are going to stay from you. Amen. Hey, the word of God is the water that cleans your life up. It cleans you from the inside out. Amen. Hey, soap and water helps the outside. The word of God helps the inside. The blessed man is in the word of God. He delights in it. What's your delight? What's your delight? Well, it's my wife. It's my husband. Those things are fine. But your chief delight ought to be the word of God. Why? When everything else falls apart, it's still there. Heaven and earth shall pass away. He said, my word shall never pass away. Why? This man is blessed because he had something. He delighted in the law of his Lord. Amen. Not only did he delight in the law of the Lord, or the law of the Lord was his delight. The law of the Lord is his diet. The law of the Lord is his diet. Notice what it says in the second part of that verse, number 2. And in his law doth he meditate. He starts it off, but contrary to what the negative choice is all about, he says, the delight is going to be in the law of the Lord, and conjunction, in his law doth he meditate day and night. By the way, I said the law of the Lord is his delight. Diet. Diet means there is a regulation of certain foods we eat at certain times, normally coupled with exercise. Amen. My wife makes these green smoothies to supplement our diet. She's adding to our normal diet that we already have to make us a little bit more healthy. Amen. Giving us a little bit more greens in our bodies, giving us a little bit more vegetables and fruits and things of that nature. And it is there to supplement. The Word of God is not a supplement. The Word of God is your mainstay. Folks say, well, I got the word of God as a side dish or as a side order. That's why you got problems. God is not some french fries to have on your dish. God is the meat and potatoes of what you need, amen. He is the appetizer. He is the full course menu. He is the dessert. He's everything. Don't you talk about, well, I just got him as an appetizer. I just want a little bit of God. How about if he gave you a little bit of salvation, a lot of bit of hell? See, we don't like that. Well, how about if I gave you a little bit of flames, gave you a little bit of heaven? Well, it's not fair. Oh, but it's fair for you to get a little bit of God and a lot of bit of the world. Come on now, work with me. Either it's right or it's wrong. But that's what we like to say. Well, I just want to have just a pinch of God. Let me just have a little taste of him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's good. That's all I want. Amen. That's why your life's in shambles. Hey, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate. Hey, meditate, he's talking about day and night, not just a sample, not just a taste, not just a piece, not just a pinch, not just a look, not just a lick. I want the whole thing. People want a little piece of God and a lot of piece of the world. Not this guy. This guy said, I want to be blessed. And the only way that I can be blessed is if I have a diet that's consumed by the Word of God. All of my calories are coming from the Word of God. All of my things are coming from the Word of God. All my exercise is in the Word of God. Everything I have is in the Word of God. Amen. You say, well, you can't get that. Let me tell you something. That's the best science book. That's the best history book. That's the best textbook on anatomy, on science, on geometry. Amen. On every subject you can think of, it is the best. Public schools weren't even invented till years down, about 100 years ago when the public schools got invented. People's homeschooling their kids at home. And you know what they're teaching their kids? The book. You obey this book, son, and you'll be fine. It teaches you not to be slothful in your business. Be a good worker. Be a hard worker. Not being a man pleaser, but being a God pleaser. Teach you how to love your wife. Teach you how to do everything. Hey, this is the only book you need. This is the diet that you need. And so many people neglect it, and they're lean in their souls. And you wonder why your life's falling apart. You wonder why you have all these issues. You wonder why you got all these situations that just unraveling your life, and you're worried sick. It's because you're not meditating in the right thing. The blessed man has a diet. And his diet is the law of the Lord. Warren Wiersbe said it this way: meditation is to your inner person what digestion is to your body. You make the Word of God a part of your life, and you grow spiritually in the same way you digest food to grow physically. Hey, guess what? You have to eat food and drink water to live. You have to eat this book and drink this water to live spiritually. It's a must. Say, preacher, why? This is the same book that gets you to heaven. The same book that gets you to heaven is going to keep you from living a hellish life.
Amen.
Hey, if it can get you out of hell and into heaven, don't you think it can help you live a life on this earth?
Amen.
Amen. But so many people neglect it. But he said, hey, look, the blessed man, the law of the Lord is his delight. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditate means this, to murmur to self, to ponder over, to imagine, to speak, to study, to talk or utter. By the way, one of those words that I find interesting, to imagine. That doesn't mean imagining just foolishness. It's almost as if you're reading. How many of y'all, you read certain books and it seems like you have just been transported from where you're at into the picture of the book that you're reading? That's what it's talking about. God says, look, read, meditate in such a way that I transport you by the Holy Spirit's power into the battle with David. You're seeing Goliath there. You're seeing David throw the sling. You're seeing the Philistines over there. You're seeing the Israelites over there cower down. You're seeing his brothers over here make fun of him. But then you see that giant falling down, and you see him falling face forward when he should have fell backwards. And you see that rock. You see him pull that sword out. You see him cut that head off. You say, preacher, oh, that's not in the Bible. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. You know it.
He said, but he was already dead. David just made sure.
Yeah, that's right, Pastor. That's right.
Hey, what am I saying? Imagine. Put yourself in the biblical character's shoes when you read. That'll help you meditate. Right. Say, Holy Spirit, open up my eyes that I may see what God would have me to see. I didn't live back then, but Holy Spirit, you did. Transport me back there. Let me see what they're talking about. Let me see how it applies to my life today. Because it's a story that happened yonder day. But guess what? It applies to your life today. Meditate, murmur to self, to ponder, to imagine. There's some truth to the phrase, you are what you think. Because God tells you to meditate on the word of God that you may be what you need to be. The dictionary says this about meditate. To engage in contemplation or reflection. To engage in mental exercise. To focus one's thoughts on or ponder. To plan or project in the mind. So in other words, this psalmist here, he says, I'm going to get the word of God in. It's not going to be my delight, but it's going to be my diet. I'm going to meditate in it every day. I'm going to engage in contemplation, reflect upon it. I'm going to exercise my thoughts. I'm going to murmur to myself. I'm going to ponder over it. I'm going to imagine it, speak and study it out.
Amen.
Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir, Pastor Dawson.
Because you have never done that.
That's right.
Hey, friend, why don't you start today? Why don't you start today? Just get in the word of God. Make it a consistent practice in your life. By the way, when he says down there, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, beware of philosophies that teach you to empty your mind from normal thought processes and become idle in your mind. Well, I'm just going to meditate. Empty my mind. I'm going to be at one with nature. You're going to be at one with a demon. Because if you don't guard and govern your thoughts, amen, if you don't protect your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life, the devil will give you something to contemplate on.
Oh, yes,
it's foolish to think that your mind is going to be empty, because you will think on something.
That's right.
Tell me, empty my mind. I don't got much mind empty. I got to keep what little bit I got. And the little bit that I got needs to be coupled with the word of God, the spirit of God, to do the will of God. I don't need to empty. I need to be filling it more of God. And you might say, I can empty my mind and still have some left. Amen. I'm just telling you what the modern New Age thinkers say is to empty your mind. Be at one with nature. Be at one with yourself. Amen. I don't want to be at one with myself. I know me. I want self to be dead and crucified just like he should be, dead and buried in the baptismal waters, amen. He got baptized, buried with him in likeness of his death, raised and walking in newness of life. I want to be at one with Jesus Christ. I want to be at one with the Spirit of God. I want to be at one with God. I don't want to be at one with myself. Now, you might like yourself a whole lot, but when I look in my closet of who I am or who I was, a big sinner.
Amen.
Just saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Now, you might find Prince Charming in your closet, amen. You might find Cinderella in your closet, but I ain't who I found in mine. I found an old raggedy, wretched man full of bones and dead man sores and leprosy.
Amen.
Hey, and if we're all honest, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that's what you found too. But this new world thinkers will tell you, be at one with yourself and get to know nature. I don't need to know nature. I know God. Why do I need to get to know nature when I know God? You answer that. When I know the God of creation, who needs to go and learn creation? Amen. Now, I can learn some things from creation about my God. Amen. But I don't need to commune with creation to know God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is good. Hey, beware of that. Hey, you open yourself to demonic possession, oppression, and then you'll transgression. Amen. Amen. It will happen that way. The meditation the psalmist is talking about is a deliberate engagement of the mind on the word of God on purpose. The same way he said, I'm not going to walk with these guys. I'm not going to stand with these guys. I'm not going to sit with these guys. The same man said, but I'm going to delight in this word, and I'm going to meditate on purpose, engage my mind, and on purpose think about the word of God. On purpose think about what I just read. We were in Sunday school this morning, and one of the folks said, you know, sometimes we're guilty of reading, and we don't even know what we just read. How many of y'all would agree sometimes we're there? If we're honest, our mind is so complex that you can read the word of God, and your mind's a million miles away. I was talking to the preacher this morning. Said, sometimes you're sitting in here listening to me, and your mind is a million miles away. Some of y'all at home making dinner already. Some of y'all out playing, kids.
Yes, sir.
School break is this week. Man, as soon as the preacher gets done, I can get home and play. Amen. Mine's gone already. Oh, yeah, I hear you, preacher, right here. But guess what? I don't have anything to meditate on. What he's talking about here is deliberate engagement of the mind on the word of God. There are many things we can think and meditate on, but none better and more productive and life-changing like the law of the living God of heaven. The blessed man has a diet or regulation of the word of God. He meditates or talks to himself over and over again about it. And there's a lot of things you can talk to yourself about, but none better than the word of God.
Right.
Guess what? You can talk to yourself, and you can actually get discouraged by yourself.
Yes, sir.
Hey, let me tell you this. Some of y'all know it. You can actually lie to yourself.
Yes, sir, you can,
Pastor. And you know what's worse? You can actually believe the lie that you told yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And you can, worse, you can see yourself doing the lie that you told yourself.
Uh-huh.
That's bad. When you can lie to yourself, believe the lie, and see you doing the lie that you had. I had a lie that I told as a kid. I told that lie so much that it became a part of my life, and I saw myself doing the things of the lie. I say, you know that's bad. You know that's bad when you have a lie that you've told so bad that you believe that you actually did what you didn't do.
Amen.
Talk about meditation. Now, if sinful thoughts can do that, imagine what the Word of God can do. Imagine what the word, when I meditate on that which is right, when that which is holy, that which is godly, that which is right, that which is pure, that which is going to get me right with God. Imagine the change that it makes in your life. And his law doth he meditate day and night. By the way, when you read the blessed man, as you read the Bible methodically, that means have a purpose, have a plan, have a system on how you read. Read it meaningfully. Ask God, Lord, what does this mean? And then meditatively, desiring to seek and understand it to apply. Lord, I want to read this with a system. I don't want to just jump in there like I jump in a newspaper and read a little place there because it jumped out at me. I want to start from the beginning and start over here. And I want to read this to see what it says methodically and meaningfully. And then I want to meditatively think on it. What does that mean? Think over it over and over again. Hey, what do I say? We have these things over here so that you can have you a daily diet of the Word of God. And I'm thinking about it, amen. For the beginning of the year, we said, if you don't have a system of reading, you need to get some of these, amen. Daily devotion. After you get done reading this, you will have read through the whole Bible in a year. Another one, word from the wise, a proverb for every day. Another one, rooted in Christ. Again, different daily devotions for every day. A daily word, 366 devotions, amen. What are those designed to do? To methodically and to meaningfully get you to meditatively consider the Word of God for your life. Say, preacher, whose gain is it? It's your gain. Do you know that God gets no benefit out of you gaining spiritual wisdom other than that you do his will? But it's not going to make God any holier. And it's not going to make him any less holier if you don't read it. Well, if I don't read it, God's going to lose some holiness today. And I want him to be holy. No, God is not dependent upon you for his holiness. He wants you to be holy because he is holy. And his holiness does not cease. And so the meditation is systematically or methodically and meaningfully and then meditatively done to understand the Word of God and apply it. Something that I gave out years ago, I'll let you have it again today, has helped me over the years. Two acronyms, SMAD and SPECS. Write those down. SMAD, S-M-A-D. And then SPECS, S-P-E-C-S. SMAD and SPECS. I gave that to my teenagers years ago over in Belgium. And say, preacher, wait, when you read the Word of God, you employ SMAD first. Ask yourself, what does it say? That's S. What does it mean? That's the M. And when you ask yourself, what does it mean? What did it mean to the people that it was written to? Not what does it mean to you? Because if you don't understand who it was written to, why, where, and when, how are you going to apply it correctly to your life? What does it mean? What did it mean to them? People always say, well, to me it means. Well, what if you didn't exist? Then what would it mean?
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
Not interested in your interpretations. Only God's interpretation. By the way, if you keep stuff in its context, it's going to say what it says. It's going to mean what it means. And that's it. Amen. Because God wrote it for a specific person, for a specific group of people. Amen. What does it say? What does it mean? How does it apply? And then what should I do as a result of what I read? Ask yourself those four things. SMAD. What does it say? What does it mean? How does it apply? What should I do? Specs. Ask yourself, as I read this, are there some sins for me to forsake? Is there something for me to stop? Sins for me to forsake.
That's good.
P, is there a promise for me to claim that I can call for my own? By the way, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall what?
Be saved.
That's a promise that I can claim. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. That's a promise that I can claim. Sins to forsake. Promises to claim. Examples to follow or not follow. By the way, Samson would not be an example to follow. Jezebel would not be an example to follow. Judas Iscariot would not be an example to follow. Jesus Christ would be an example to follow. Paul the Apostle would be an example to follow. Matter of fact, he said, be ye also followers of me, I as I'm also of Christ. Examples to follow. Where are we at? Specs. Commands to obey. Is there something that God says that I ought to do? And by the way, the Ten Commandments is full of things that you should do and not do. Commands to obey. And then S, stumbling blocks to avoid. What does that mean? It means it's not really a sin, but it might cause somebody else to stumble who's following me. Stumbling blocks. So as I read meditatively, as I'm meditating day and night, I've got a methodical, a meaningful, meditatively way to read the Word of God. Well, I'm asking, what does it say? What does it mean? How does it apply? What should I do? Are there sins to forsake? Are there promises to claim? Are there examples to follow? Are there commands to obey? Are there stumbling blocks to avoid? I want to understand, God, what your will is for my life so that I can avoid some danger and I can be a blessing and I can be holy and I can get my life cleaned up. Hey. If you don't read the Word of God like that, then you might as well just go and read a newspaper.
Amen.
Why do you think so many well-meaning folks read the Bible and their lives never change? their lives never change.
That's right, Pastor.
Their wives might not change either. That's got nothing to do with your reading, amen.
Amen,
hey, if you read the Bible, your life should change.
That's
it's a living word. It's not dead. It's alive. And so if you're not reading the book, then something's wrong with you, not the book. Because it made a difference in Moses' life. It made a difference in Abraham's life. It made a difference in Joshua's life. Hey, it made a difference in Paul's life. It made a difference in Peter's life. It made a difference in James' life. It made a difference in Esther's life. It made a difference in Sarah's life. It made a difference in everybody's life. What about yours?
That's good.
Ooh, preacher, now you're picking. Now you're picking. Why you got to get personal? Because the Word of God gets personal. Hey, what am I saying? When you read meditatively, you can look for the SMADs and the specs. And then the most complete form of reading and meditating comes from writing down things that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about. By the way, my wife can attest to this. Most of the sermons that are preached from this pulpit by me is from years of reading and meditating the Word of God. My wife, I've got notes written everywhere. There's scraps of paper everywhere. With sermons that I started, Pastor, I got scraps of paper. I got about a thick stack like that of sermons that I just started. As I'm reading, the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, this is what I want you to do, son. And I just take those and expand those for you. Because I said, if it's good for me, guess what? It's good for you.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Hey, the ones that I'm doing now, guess what? God spoke to my heart about that. Mm-hmm. And so this is a part of my life. And so you're just getting what God gave me. Hey, did he not do the same thing in the Old Testament? He told the prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, son of man, I'm saying to you to say to them.
Right.
He did the same thing to Moses. I'm speaking to you, Moses, speak to them. What I'm saying, God gives to you to give to somebody else. But if you're not going to meditate on it, it's not going to help your life. God told Joshua this in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, what? Day and night. What does he say over there? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate, what? Day and night. He said this to Joshua, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And folks say, well, yeah, I want prosperity. The prosperity, if you look it up in a concordance, surge, is not the same word as you might think. That word prosperous means to push forward. It means to gain ground. It means to be profitable. What was Joshua's job? Joshua's job was to take over from Moses and to get them into the promised land and to gain ground, to push forward, to expand, to get the ground, to get the land. And that's what he said. He said, look, you'll advance. You'll be prosperous. You'll do what it's intended to do. He said, be prosperous and have good success. He said, you'll do exactly what I'm telling you to do if you keep my word, if you are meditating it day and night. Couple of scriptures in Psalms 119 about meditation, amen. It was not just limited to Joshua. 119:15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Psalm 119:23, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. 119:48, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Psalm 119:78, I will meditate in thy precepts. Psalm 119:148, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Over and over again, we find meditation in the Psalms. As we meditate over those verses that we have read, we need to ask ourselves, what is the main thing that I can learn from this to apply to my life to be like the blessed man? I don't want to be like the sinners. I don't want to be like the scornful. I don't want to walk in this counsel. And so, God, I've got to delight in your law. I've got to love it. I've got to want it. I've got to desire it. And God, I've got to meditate it day and night over and over again. Think about it. There's a lot of things that can capture your attention. There's a lot of things that can capture your emotions. A lot of things that can catch your ear. A lot of things can grab your heart. But none like the Word of God. If you're going to meditate on something, meditate on the Word of God. Here's a good question to ask yourself. After you're done meditating, ask yourself what you just meditated on. If you can verbalize what you just meditated on, then you meditated. If you can't verbalize what you just meditated on, you didn't meditate on anything. Now, if you read the Word of God and you can talk about the basketball game, guess what? You meditate on the basketball game, not the Word of God. Amen. I'm just saying. Day and night, he's walking, he's waking, he's going, he's doing with the Word of God. At night, he's lounging, he's praying, he's sleeping with the Word of God. I copied down a quote. It says, why count sheep when you can talk to the shepherd and listen to him talk to you? Good. Amen.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
I don't need to count no sheep. I know the shepherd. Yes, sir, Pastor. What do you think put David to sleep? He knew the shepherd. That's why he said, the Lord is my shepherd. The blessed man needs the Word of God every day, all day, day and night. He thinks it, he breathes it, he eats it, he lives it consistently and constantly. What does he do? The law of the Lord is his delight, but the law of the Lord is also his diet. Let me ask you something today. Is there anything that you delight in more than the Word of God? And friend, if it is, then your priorities are out of whack. You say, preacher, I don't even know how to delight in the law of the Lord. Good way is to get saved. Except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every man to his own way. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How can I have a delight in something that I don't know? You know what? I couldn't delight in my wife until I got to learn her. I had to find out what disgusted her. Yep. I said, I got to get rid of that.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something, friend. Sin disgusts God. And the only way you can delight in God's word and God's law is to be born again, is to be saved.
Yes,
saying, preacher, I struggle with delighting in his words. Sometimes I don't even have a desire to read his word. Are you saved? Are you born again? Because every blood-washed, born-again, Bible-believing Christian should have a delight for the word of God. And if you don't, there's something wrong. Now, you might not delight like the next person, but you're not the next person. You need to delight like God wants you to delight. You need to read this scripture and say, Lord, what does delight mean to me? Now, I've already told you what scripturally it means and the concordance, to have pleasure in, to desire, a valuable thing. And by the way, you're going to delight in him and his word as much as he's forgiven you of.
Amen. Amen.
I had a big account, a big sin account. And he said, whom is forgiven much? The same loveth much. I love a whole lot because I had a big load of sin. I don't know what your sin load is like, what your sin account is, but I know all have sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. It calls us to go to this place called hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He said, look, if you don't have a delight, maybe you need to get saved. By the way, getting saved is not paying your tithe, as Mark so eloquently talked about earlier. It's not about paying your tithe. It is not about getting baptized. As we had people get baptized last week, that's good. Tithing is good. Church membership is great. The local church needs to have that. Hey, friend, but that doesn't get you saved. The only thing that gets you saved is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, that John said. If you don't have a delight, maybe you need to get saved. Say, preacher, but I am saved. Are you sure? Would God agree with you? I don't know about you, but as I was a young adult at 26 and 27, I would ask God, I'm saved, right? And I would get a big question mark coming back to me. I got no confident assurance. Although I went to Catholic school till I was in eighth grade, although I got baptized at about age 10, I went through all the church motions, I did all the stuff, I did all the things. My life didn't reflect a saved life. I was still doing the same sins that I was doing. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Take the litmus test. Are you saved? Hey, guess what? It wasn't until I got confronted with the Word of God.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God told me, son, you need to get saved. If you don't get saved today, son, you're going to hell. I don't want you to go, but you will go if you don't get saved. Guess what? I was scared out of my mind. You know what I did? I got saved.
Amen.
Say, preacher, did you get baptized? I got baptized about 2 months later. Preacher, join the church. I joined the church.
Amen.
Preacher, start tithing. I started tithing. Preacher, do all those. I did all those other things, Mark. I try not to leave anything undone.
That's right.
But guess what? Those things don't get me to heaven. Jesus Christ does.
Yes, sir, he does.
And he gave me a delight for his word. And as I delighted in his word, he told me, hey, there's the ungodly counsel. Hey, there's the sinner. Hey, there's the scorner. In order to avoid that, you need to delight yourself in the law of the Lord. You need to love me, love my word, and what it's going to do for you, what it is, and where it's going to take you, and how it's going to keep you while you're down here. And you need to meditate now, day and night, son. Occupy your mind with me, and you won't get messed up with them. Why do so many Christians get in trouble? They're not meditating on the word of God. They're not going over it and over and over and again. They're not saying, what does it say? What does it mean? How does it apply? What does it do? Hey, are there sins to avoid? Are there promises to claim, examples to follow, commands to obey? Are there stumbling blocks to avoid? They're not asking those questions, and so they find themselves still reading the Bible, but in all sorts of miry clay. It is what it is, folks. I do trust today that you look at the positive choices of the blessed man, because next week we're going to look at another aspect of him. And not only is the law of the Lord his delight and his diet, but next week the law of the Lord is going to be his display. Because of what he does, he's going to be like a tree. And trees normally are on display for everybody to see. What about you today? How's your delight? How's your diet? Are you saved? If not, when the invitation starts, just make your way down this aisle. Come right down and say, preacher, I want to be saved. We'll get someone to give you a Bible. Show you how you can get saved through the Word of God. Hey, maybe you need to surrender for baptism. Say, I'm saved, but I need to be baptized. Hey, we'll get you baptized. Hey, maybe you need a good fundamental Bible-believing church to join. Hey, we'll get you joined up with this church if you're saved. And if you're scripturally baptized, we'll say, hey, look, come fellowship with us. But delight in the law of the Lord. And his law doth he meditate day and night. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this morning. God, thank you for the choices that we could see from the blessed man. Thank you that negatively he avoids some things. But then positively, he delights in some things. He has a diet about some things. God, help us to improve our delight. Help us to separate from defilement like Daniel and be blessed. Lord, help us to have that delight like the Psalms talk about. And Lord, help us to meditate day and night like the psalmist talks about. Because if that is the case, Lord, you have said, then we will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And we'll do many, many positive things for the kingdom of God. Not just for ourselves and for you, but for others. Lord, minister in our lives and our hearts. Bless this invitation time in Jesus' name. All heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. Just for a moment, ponder in your heart and answer this question. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven, or do you have some doubts? If you die today, are you sure you go to heaven or do you have some doubts? With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you have some doubts, you say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died this moment that I would go to heaven. I'm not talking about are you tithing. I'm not talking about have you joined this church or have you been baptized? Have you stopped sinning? I'm not talking about any of those. I'm asking, have you accepted Christ as Savior, repented of your sins, and your life has changed? If you're doubting, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Just want to pray for you, that's all. You raise your hand, say, preacher, pray for me. All across this room, man, woman, boy, or girl, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Preacher, I'm doubting whether I'm saved or not. Please pray for me. Okay, I see that hand. You may put it down. Someone else want to raise your hand and join this one? Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. If I doubt, I go to heaven. Christian, how about it? I see that hand. Amen. You may put it down. How about it, Christian? Do you have the delight that God would have you to have? Do you have the desire that God would have you to have? Do you have the diet that God would have you to have? Not as a supplement, but as a main course. Is Jesus Christ and his word everything to you? If not, why don't you come to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, my delight's not what it needs to be. My diet's not what it needs to be. God, would you help me with my delight? Lord, would you help me with my diet? Would you do that? Father, bless now in these few moments. Minister and meet needs today. We might understand the truth of what the Bible says and meditating and delighting in the law of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand to our feet. The invitation is going to play. God spoke in your heart. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe there's someone that you know that you need to pray for that needs to have a desire change. Or maybe a diet change. Or maybe you need to pray for yourself and say, preacher, you know, I don't have that same delight that I used to have. I don't have that same diet that I used to have. And I want to get that back. I want to have that delight. I want to have that desire. I want to be like the blessed man. I want my way to be undefiled. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe you need to pray for a husband. Maybe a wife. Maybe a son or maybe a daughter. How about it? Are you saved today? Are you born again? If you were to die, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Hey, the blessed man is a saved man. The blessed man is a surrendered man. The blessed man is also going to be a man that's going to follow God's will, follow God's word. I surrender all, the song is. I surrender all. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law doth he meditate day and night. How about it? I surrender all. What would God have you today to do in your life? Maybe it's a sin to forsake. Maybe it's a promise to claim. Maybe it's an example to follow or command to obey. Maybe it's not a sin at all. It's a stumbling block to avoid. Where are you at today? Christians are praying. Would you like to join? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. How about it? I surrender all. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. God, give me that delight. God, give me that desire. God, give me that diet. But oh, maybe you just need to get saved. Maybe you just need to get saved. Father, thank you for the time to be in your house today. Thank you for allowing us to pay attention to your word today. Lord, help us to not leave the way we came in. Lord, may there have been some radical change in our lives, the way we think, the way we meditate, the way we methodically read the word of God, the way we meditate on the word daily and nightly. Lord, may there be a change in our delight and our desire today. Lord, may we leave here with an appetite for the things of God. And if we don't, Lord, may we beg you to give us one. And Lord, if we don't have that in us, to beg and ask for that. And if you come back with a resounding, you're not my child, Lord, may we do business with you and depend upon the blood of Jesus Christ and repentance of our sins and have faith toward God, repentance from sin, and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Oh Lord, I pray that today will find us prosperously meditating and successfully meditating and delighting on the Word of God. Thank you for meeting with us today. Lord, dismiss us with thy blessings. Thank you for loving us and for meeting with us in Jesus' name.